Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Welcome to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books with Zivi. I'm the host, Zivi Owens. I am an author. My latest is blank, pub date March 1st, a novel. I'm also a podcaster, obviously, a publisher, a bookstore owner, and so much more. If you love books, you're in the right place. In fact, we call it the Ziviverse, or really, the LA Times called it the Ziviverse, and we're going with it. Go to ZiviOwens.com to learn more and follow me on Instagram at ZiviOwens. Dr. Edith Shiro is a clinical psychologist with a private practice in Miami, Florida. She is a co-founder of the Trauma and Resilience Center and the author, as I said, of The Unexpected Gift of Trauma. The book was a winner of the 2023 International Latino Book Awards from the Hispanic Heritage Literature Organization. Dr. Shiro graduated from Catholic University of Venezuela. Later, she got her master's and doctorate degree at Yeshiva University in New York with a postdoctoral specialization in couples and family therapy at the Ackerman Institute for the Family and further training at the International Trauma Studies Program at NYU. She has been a passionate and dedicated psychologist who specializes in working with families, couples, adults, teenagers, and children. She is on the board of local, national, and international organizations such as the World Happiness Foundation, Kadena International, HIAS International, Greater Miami Jewish Federation, Jewish Community Center, and other prominent organizations. She was awarded the Hispanic Women of Distinction in 2018 and the Health Innovation Award in 2023 for outstanding service in healthcare. She has been featured in Women's Health Magazine, Healing Maps, as a guest expert on many podcasts and national media broadcasts like CNN, CNN on Español, Univision, Despierta America, El News Café, Telemundo, Un Nuevo Día, Primer Impacto, Factores de Poder, I don't speak Spanish, I'm so sorry, El Venezolano, TVV, Mega TV, New York One, among others. I'm sorry, I took French in college. I mean, I did take it in college, but I took French in school, which was probably a complete waste because now I can't even read bios for this. Maybe I should take some Spanish classes now. Anyway, welcome, Dr. Shiro.
Welcome, Dr. Edith Shiro, who is the author of The Unexpected Gift of Trauma, The Path to Post-Traumatic Growth. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Zibi, for being here. I'm very excited to be with you.
So we met at the Miami Book Fair after a panel that I did with several Zivi Books authors. A lot of it was about grief and talking about post-traumatic growth. And you were like, this is literally what I do. You're like, you need my book. And I'm like, yes, I do.
my friends came to me and said, we just saw Zibi. How come you weren't in that panel? We don't get it. I'm like, I know, me neither. So I ran to you. I ran to you to say, hey, you know, we need to talk.
Well, you were absolutely right. So in your book, you start out by giving the reader your own history of trauma and how you got past that. And I wanted to just read this paragraph, if that's okay. You said, my fascination with these questions began in my childhood and is deeply personal. Every generation on both sides of my family has suffered greatly from trauma. I am the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors who were the only members of their families to get out of the Nazi death camps alive. I am also the granddaughter of Syrian refugees who fled their home country, traveling on foot with their six young children from Aleppo into Israel. My grandmother, heavy with child, gave birth in the Buldan Mountains and had no choice but to keep going. I am the daughter of Jewish immigrants who escaped from political, religious, and social persecution and made their way to South America. I've been a minority Jewish woman in Venezuela and later a minority Latina immigrant studying and working in the United States. I have experienced the impact of migration and multicultural conditions firsthand. I know what it's like to be exposed to discrimination in my own neighborhood and city. This, too, is trauma. Wow. So you've got it from all sides here, Edith.
I actually do. And at the same time, you know, given all of that, which is intergenerational trauma, historical trauma, developmental trauma. Yes, I've gotten all of that and I feel it in my body. And Zibi, you know, it comes in my dreams and I have experiences that I haven't lived in this lifetime that I feel like as if I have had them. But I want to say that at the same time, there's so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much culture, so much worldly experiences that I'm also having that whenever I talk to somebody that comes from anywhere, I can relate in some way, you know, which also makes me, I'm so grateful and privileged for that because of the languages that I speak, because of the cultures that I'm connected with, because of the experiences that my ancestors have had. It's almost like I can relate to such a variety of people in that sense. So I use it like as a superpower in some way, you know?
You're a healer. That's like your purpose in the world. It's wonderful to see.
I feel that it's very aligned with who I am. Absolutely.
So post-traumatic growth has gotten a lot of airtime, if you will, lately about this new concept of something that people who have gone through trauma know on some level, right? That the world, you can see things a little bit more clearly and things have more meaning and maybe you're more dialed in on your purpose in life or, you know, the brighter side of trauma, if you will, which, you know, at some points feels like there is no brighter side, but then what? So tell listeners a little more about post-traumatic growth and how to identify it, prepare for it, the benefits of it, just the whole thing.
Yes. And, you know, post-traumatic growth, I love talking about that. I've been talking about post-traumatic growth for the last 25 years, believe it or not. That was my doctorate dissertation on post-traumatic growth millions of years ago. And at that time, I think the world was not ready for that topic yet because we were barely dealing with what trauma was and barely understanding PTSD as a diagnosis. And the, you know, the world, and especially the United States, was only, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, really acknowledging and recognizing post-traumatic stress disorder. So we needed to go through that journey in order to get to where we are today, in which we can embrace more this thing that is post-traumatic growth. What is post-traumatic growth? Is the positive consequences that come out of traumatic experiences. And I'm very careful when we talk about that because some people say, how can you put trauma and growth or positive in the same sentence? And I'm saying that's precisely why I wrote the book, because people, when they experience trauma, when they experience loss, when they experience adversity, and, you know, we've all had big traumas, little traumas, you know, and you and I can talk a little bit more about that. We think sometimes that it's a life sentence, that it's, that's it, I'm doomed. You know, my husband died, you know, I moved countries, somebody left me, I'm being bullied all day long, you know, the world is collapsing, there's a war. It's like, okay, it's the end of the story, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So one of the things that would be very important is to recognize and acknowledge that there's another possibility, that there is some hope out there, that there's a light, there is a light at the end of a tunnel. If we know that that's a possibility that we can consider, that we can play with, that we can see and envision. So knowing that, even if we can't even feel it, even if we can't even recognize it at first, even if we can't even like imagine that that's possible, knowing, or at least somebody knowing that that growth is there or that transformation is there, it's very, very important. So let's say as a psychologist or as a mother or as a partner or as a caretaker, knowing that we're going to help that other person go through a process because there's something else that is positive, that is transformational, that is transcendent, I think really changes the game, and it makes, you know, makes for something to move forward to. And the way I talk about it is in five stages. And these five stages, I didn't invent them. This is me working with people, with groups, with communities for all these years, and recognizing those five stages and putting language to it, putting like an understanding, okay, now where am I? In what stage am I? How many more stages do I have to go through? Understanding this is a process, understanding that there's some sort of acknowledgement and recognition that this has to happen, and knowing that this transformation is incredible. It's like a quantum leap of a jump in how we can, you know, do things. It's going from breakdowns to breakthroughs.
We all need help from breakdowns to breakthrough.
Yes, yes.
You talk in the book about collective grief, and I feel like there's a lot of that going around right now. Talk more about that, and can we still have post-traumatic growth from a collective trauma?
Yes, and that's one of the things that, you know, there's a lot of books about trauma out there. I think one of the things in my book, and the way that I think, really, and the way that I work, is very systemic, Zibi. It's like, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm Jewish, I don't know, because I'm more spiritual, I don't know where this is coming from. My professional, you know, learning is that I see people in the context, and I see people in community, and I see people in relationships. So when something happens to you, there's an interconnectedness that is related to everyone around us. So collective trauma, the war that we're in right now, that is, you know, extremely traumatic for a lot of us, and for the world, or let's say even the pandemic, it's a collective trauma. The way to go about it is by collective healing, is that recognizing that there's something, some belief system that has been shattered. The way that we understand ourselves, the way that we understand others, the way that we understand the world has been shattered. It's breaking. It's not the same. You know, that happened during COVID, right? It's like, what? This, and you mean like this is not who I am, or my relationship is not like this, or the government is doesn't function this way, or the world can be paralyzed. You know, these are beliefs that we didn't know we had, and that they're not longer functioning. So how do we pause and recognize that and radically accept it in order to build a new narrative of ourselves and of others and of the world, you know? And that's where the transformation begins to happen. It's how do we accept it, we validate it as a group, as a community. Let's say, let me talk about Venezuelans. When the Venezuelan people are fleeing the country and 7 million people, refugees outside of the country, until and unless there's some validation, acknowledgement, and recognition of the oppression that has been happening in that culture, of the breaking of the very fabric of who they are, you know, and then really having a like a more public validation of that, the healing cannot happen. So yes, we can do individual healings, but as a collective, we need that collective public space to contain that grief and to contain that pain and that wound in order to begin to heal it. So, you know, that happens in communities, with leaderships, in open spaces, and I've been doing groups about that. For example, right now I'm working with the parents of lone soldiers in Israel. Mm. And these parents are grieving, they're at a loss, they're in this ambiguous loss place in which they have their kids, but they don't know if they're there, they don't know how long they're going to be alive, they don't know if they're going to come back home. Are they happy? Should they be sad? Should they be hopeful? You know, so yes, I can see each and every one of their parents alone. But the power of the group in which we're working is so amazing. And the healing that is happening between them as a group, then the connection that is going on, it's so powerful that, you know, something else comes up. And that's also the collective that needs to happen at the same time.
So interesting. After the attacks on October 7th, like everybody, I was just rocked. Like the first month, like I didn't know what to do. And the thing that helped me the most was gathering with a bunch of other women authors and starting this whole Artists Against Anti-Semitism thing. And we did a silent auction and all of that was great. And we did raise money and that was, you know, everything was helpful. That was great. But the best part was seeing like all the people who are like, I want to be a part of this. I want to volunteer. Let's do this together. And like getting on a Zoom with so many people and just knowing that you're not alone in it and all the fear that you're part of this whole thing. Like that to me was like intensely therapeutic.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. Why? Because trauma is like a bomb that when it falls, it separates, it polarizes, and we see it in politics, we see it not just in countries, we see it in our everyday, in families. It polarizes people, it fragments the relationships, it isolates you. And then you say, wow, I'm suffering, and you cannot understand what I'm suffering. So with me, you're my enemy, and you're, you know, we're separated. And that separation, that isolation makes us even more shameful to share our feelings or more not trustworthy to, like, you know, we don't trust the other because mm-hmm. they're going to hurt us or because we disagree. Mm-hmm. And then this is the very thing that creates trauma. That's the thing. It's more than the bomb that falls, is that fragmentation, isolation, and separation. It's that thing that says, we're no longer together. We don't have support. There's no one by my side. You know, when a woman is being abused in a relationship, when a child is being, you know, sexually abused or molested, it's not just the event that happens. It's that there's no one to talk to. Is that how am I even going to tell this experience to anybody and they're going to believe me? Or I'm not getting the support that I need in order to overcome this. You know, people that go through difficult experience and have the support, their trauma flows so much easier. The healing goes so much, you know, easier than the ones that don't have this kind of support. So you creating a community after October 7th was such a healing thing. It was, you know, very natural, very organic. And more than just the money that you raised or the books, it's that gathering, that connectedness, that like belonging to something. The same with the groups that I've been building here after. It's like the parents coming together, you know, the community, let's all do something together for this. But it's that like we're not alone, we're connected, we're not breaking the binds. It's like we're keeping that alive. So that really makes a big difference.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, I don't know, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/momsdonthavetime.
Yeah, it's funny. I right before this, I interviewed a woman who specializes in Erica Kessler workplace community, right? And how basically feeling a part of the group at work leads to more productivity. And she cited one study of firefighters who had lunch together ended up saving more lives as a team. And it's exactly what you're saying here. I mean, this is like the secret sauce of getting through trauma, of getting through life, of work, of everything. Like if we can somehow find ourselves, I can imagine people listening being like, yeah, yeah, that's great. But like, can't just like snap your fingers and get a community, right? How do you do this? I think that's the challenge. I remember after college, I was like, wait, so I'm just alone in the world now? Like I'm not a part of anything after a lifetime of being in educational institutions. Like, what do I do now? Like my little company, this isn't anything. We leave work. And then I'm like, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life? You know?
No, it's a very difficult moment. That's a transition. It's very difficult. Yeah.
So for people listening who are like, well, I have had trauma. I am going through a hard time, but I don't know necessarily how to find that group or my people. I mean, I'll say like being a part of this listening community is already a part of something. And, you know, being part of anything in this bookish world that I've tried to create, anyone listening is a part of a community, but for more specific connections and their own individual traumas and everything, how do you recommend people find those groups or find their people like that?
Yeah. No, and I really appreciate that question because that jump is not easy. And sometimes it takes people months and years until they're able to do something about it. So one of the things to do, the first step, is to have this radical acceptance. It's like sitting with yourself, looking at yourself in the mirror. I think it's a very intimate and brave experience to say, you know what? Let me be radically honest with myself. I am addicted. I am depressed. I am going through something horrible. I am vulnerable. I surrender to what's happening to me. I can no longer continue my repetitive behavior that you know what I'm talking about, Zivi. We all have this. It's like we do this repetitive thing and we keep doing it and we can't get out of this cycle. We keep going through the same relationships or we keep, you know, having the same behavior that is like, okay, today I'm not going to do it. And then you fall into that again. It's really stopping that for a moment, even pausing for a moment and recognizing that that's what's going on. And having that really, really honest conversation with yourself and say, you know what, let me accept that. Mm-hmm. Once you do that and you're able to be radically honest and radically clear with yourself, that's when you go into the second stage, which is giving yourself the permission to ask for help and to extend that hand and say, you know what, I can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. Let me just make one phone call. Yep. Let me just talk to one person. Let me find my yoga teacher and just tell my yoga teacher what happens. Or let me go on a retreat and see if I can do. Or let me, you know, tell my family member or my best friend. And that's how it begins to build that asking for help and that looking for that support and protection. That second stage of support and protection is extremely important because that's when you begin to feel contained and feel safe. And that can be in the form of therapy, but it can be also in the form of a book community, book club in which people talk with each other. And then you're going to have an opportunity to maybe say something about yourself and understand something more about yourself and see what the other person did about it that is different than yours or the same. You know, or it can be in the form of a retreat, or it can be in the form, you know, of a sports group that you join. But it's like, this is how you begin to like find yourself and slowly ask for that help. Obviously, therapy is a really good way to go about it because then you have that way of being validated and being accepted and recognized, which is so, so important for them to open up for the healing. And then it goes into like, you know, the third stage, which is really opening up for new stories, new narrative, new ways, new perspectives to look at your story, look at yourself. You know, when you go through a big trauma, this is the opportunity to say, I can let go of the things that I used to do and the way that I was. And I'm opening up for new ways of seeing the world. And books, by the way, are an amazing pathway for that. People begin to read books that they weren't reading before, to listen to podcasts that they weren't reading. My patients are like, you know, all of a sudden like, oh, I'm trying out this thing. I logged into this other podcast that I'm listening every day. I'm going away with this group. It's like trying out new clothes, new dresses, new costumes to see what fits. Because the ones that you had before no longer they no longer work. It's like they're broken. You know, it's broken. It's dead. And this is when also people become more spiritual. Some people got more of a path of spirituality, not necessarily religion, but more spirituality. Yeah. And then you go into this fourth stage of integration. And then you really integrate your old self with your new self. It's like your whole story. You know, you're not just this new thing, but you're able to see what happened to you and talk about what happened to you without being re-traumatized. You can talk about that loss that you had or that breakup that you had or that painful experience that you had, but you can say it without having all those overwhelming feelings again. Say, you know, I was in a relationship that was abusive, or yes, I got divorced and this is what happened. Or, you know, I really had a bad experience in childhood, but I'm also this, you know, and you integrate it into your whole self, which allows you to then go into the wisdom and growth, which is the fifth stage. And that stage, I'm sure you've experienced this, and I would love to hear about your story because you have such an example of post-traumatic growth. You're such a perfect example of post-traumatic growth, Amy. It's like how your relationships are, that they're more meaningful. Your connections are more meaningful. Your priorities are more clear. You know what, you know, what you like, what you don't like, where you're going. A lot of people become very clear in their life purpose. All of a sudden, you see there's a mission there. It's like the medicine is in the wound. It's like you know the medicine already because you've been in the wound, and from that place, you have the medicine. People become more spiritual, and that spirituality, that connected, that feeling like you are not alone, that you're part of like a thing that it's something bigger than yourself. And that's not necessarily religion. It's more like, you know, as human beings, you're part of this humanity that it's more truthful and more meaningful. There's actually even like physical ways of measuring that spirituality in the brain. And it becomes a protective factor for future trauma, which is beautiful. I'm super excited when I write about that in the book and when I talk about it, because it's like, these are the elements that would help you for the next situation that happens to be so much more protected, resilient, so much more in the growth, in the wisdom stage, and say, I can handle this. I've been through something very difficult. I can handle the next thing. I've developed resources. So you're in a different stage of being. That doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer again or go through pain again or have difficulty again. But there's something that has shifted inside of you that is very meaningful.
Like what I always say to my older daughter, like, you've done it before and you can do it again. Right?
You have to
use yourself as a model. You know, when you were talking about different groups and finding your way in therapy, and I was thinking also about Facebook groups, which I know aren't exactly like new and riveting advice, but it's something so easy you can do with just a click. And all of a sudden you're in a group and you see how many people are in the group and it's like, I don't know. I think Facebook groups can be really helpful.
Absolutely. Also, you know what? Yesterday I was having a therapy with this wonderful woman that I've been working with for many years, and she works really hard. And she's like, you know what? I need to do something else with my life, but I don't know what. Maybe I'll learn a new language, or maybe I need to do more exercise. I do more meditation. And I was like, yeah, that's really good. But this is more of your improvement with yourself and your routine of exercise, meditation. That's cool. But what is it that you love? What do you love doing? What gives you pleasure? And she said, dancing. And I said, you know what? You're in New York. Great place to find dancing places. Go to meetup groups. Go to like a dancing academy. Join a group that is dancing salsa, merengue, I don't know, like a creative dancing, whatever. And she was like illuminated. It's like the world was illuminated for her because it didn't occur to her. And this is creating a new community for her in which she can do something that she loves and also become, you know, part of something else.
Yeah.
So it's not just the Facebook and the virtual, but also think about what you like, something you like, some hobby that you like, some situation that you, and just join some cause. A lot of the times I say that the best antidote for depression is serving other people. Pick up the phone and see who's the old lady there that needs some company, you know, the little children that I need, you know that. Yeah. So being in service completely helps you and makes you be part of a bigger group as well.
I say that to my kids also, like when they're, I don't want to go to school today, or I'm sad or whatever. I'm like, your job today is to make someone else feel better. Like, you have to make somebody smile. Go in there and make somebody smile.
So that's incredible, right? That you're teaching it to your children so early. Honor that. That's beautiful.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.